Hello and a very warm welcome to Centre Stage. Good to have you with us. Now, the situation in Persian Gulf country Bahrain is quite volatile again. Now, on Wednesday last week, Bahraini regime forces stormed and shot down an exhibition dubbed the Revolution Museum, which was opened by Al-Wefaq. Now, a couple of days later, Bahrain's Interior Ministry summoned Sheikh Ali Salman, the head of the country's main opposition group, Al-Wefaq, for questioning. Now, Al-Wefaq National Islamic Society confirmed the summons, saying this is in revenge for the peaceful opposition that is asking for democracy. Welcome back. Now, to talk about the most recent developments in the troubled Persian Gulf island of Bahrain, we're delighted to be joined by two top guests. Now, in our Tehran studio, we've got the pleasure of being joined by professional journalist Mr. Hamid Golpira. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
How are you doing? Thanks for inviting me to your show.
Thank you very much for being with us. Now, Hamid Golpira is the top writer working with Tehran Times. Some of his articles have been translated into several languages, including, of course, German and Russian. Hamid's also working for Press TV. Now, crossing over to our London studio, I'm very pleased to be joined by an established activist and analyst, Mr. Qasem Al-Hashimi. Welcome to Centre Stage.
Thank you, sir. Kind of you. Thank you for calling me.
Great to have you with us. Now, Mr. Qasem Al-Hashimi, as I said earlier, is a well-established Bahrain activist. He's also head of Bahrain International Mission. Time for a short break. A court in Bahrain has sentenced four anti-regime activists to life in prison and six others to 15-year jail terms. Bahraini opposition sources said on Sunday that the activists were handed prison sentences for taking part in anti-regime protests. Now, earlier this week, 10 protesters were also imprisoned over similar charges. The court rulings are issued at a time when Bahraini regime forces have intensified their crackdown on opposition leaders. In the meantime, the country's prosecutors have begun interrogation of the Secretary General of the main opposition group, Al-Wefaq. The Saturday summoning of Sheikh Salman sparked protests across Bahrain. The demonstrators expressed solidarity with the Al-Wefaq leader. On the following day, Bahrain's public prosecutor charged the head of the main Shiite opposition group with insulting the Interior Ministry in a move that could further unsettle the Persian Gulf island state. The Bahraini opposition group believes the summoning of Salman to be part of a political blackmail and revenge against the peaceful opposition that is asking for democracy. In an earlier development on October 30th, Bahraini regime forces stormed and shut down an exhibition dubbed the Revolution Museum, which was opened by Al-Wefaq. The party says it will lodge a complaint with the United Nations over the raid on the exhibition, which had been organized in an effort to portray the brutal regime clampdown on peaceful protests. In September, Wefaq's deputy leader, Khalil Al-Mazouk, was arrested on charges of inciting protests against the ruling Al-Khalifa family. The opposition party said the detention was a clear attack on political activism in Bahrain. The popular uprising that began in Bahrain in early 2011 has seen lots of ups and downs, but one thing is absolutely clear. Despite all the brutality, Bahrain opposition shows no sign of giving up. Hello again and welcome back. Now, riot police last week raided the museum-style hall opened by Al-Wefaq that included depictions of alleged torture and attacks against protesters since the uprising began in February 2011. Now, Mr. Al-Hashimi, that was a brave move by the opposition, wasn't it?
Thank you very much. Let me also give my condolence for you, your guest, and for the Muslim nation for the Ashura, as we are on the first day of Ashura.
Thank you very much.
Exhibition of Al-Wefaq was made to clear the picture, to make to present what is the actual move and what the actual situation and the violence, the victims, what they did face, what happened exactly in Bahrain. In fact, that exhibition also reflects the report of Mr. Bassiouni, which he included in his report most of the words that the exhibition has reflected it in physical, and that's why the regime of Bahrain could not take it more, because that makes the international society shocked from the examples that exhibition has shown to the international society. And that's why the regime take a fast action to close that exhibition, stop it, and also lead the people who organize it to be questioned. And a legal case has been established for most of them, including the General Secretary of Al-Wefaq Society, Sheikh Ali Salman, as well. So I think it's a good move. It's a brave move, as far as you said. And we do request Al-Wefaq to continue reopening the exhibition again, not only in Bahrain, but also abroad, outside. Let them do the same exhibition, a copy of that exhibition in Paris, in Geneva, in New York, in London. That's a good move. That shows the people what do we face in Bahrain, what kind of dictatorship, torture, and barbarian people whom they deal with, the civilian and modest people in Bahrain whom they come up to ask for their rights peacefully and modernly.
Okay, thank you very much indeed, Mr. Al-Hashimi. Now, authorities have said that the displays, Hamid, incited hatred. But, you know, the fact of the matter is that most of the scenes that are depicted, and we're going to have a look at one of the pictures of the exhibition in our, website section, many of them were reported in the media, and some of them, as Mr. Al-Hashimi mentioned, were actually reported in the report backed by the government, by Bassiouni. So probably those scenes were nothing new.
Well, it is nothing new, but at the same rate, there has been a relative, not a complete, but a relative kind of media blackout on some things happening in Bahrain. I mean, you see sometimes there's some heavy crackdown day, but it's not on the front pages of many Western papers. It's not in the media, so it is part of, although the world knows about it, it is think that the fact that a crackdown is happening in Bahrain is not unknown, but yeah. It's not being played up as much. So I think maybe the government is a little bit worried that as greater exposure and publicity or a media spotlight mm-hmm. shine on some things occurring in this general crackdown in Bahrain, it would reflect badly on the government.
You know, probably the media is more interested in paying attention to other cases which have attracted more publicity, probably the Syria case and the cases in Egypt and others. So do you agree that Bahrain case has not been given the attention it deserves by the media?
Well, yes, I totally agree that it has not been given the proper media coverage. You know, maybe it's not the number one story in the world every day, but it's also not the most minor thing. It should get proper coverage, and like I said, especially a lot of the Western media outlets don't want to cover it as much. But one of the reasons for that is that maybe they're not sure how things are going to develop, and certain Western governments don't want, you know, they don't want somebody not favorable to them to ever come into power. So if they're worried that that might happen, then having less media coverage, decreasing the media coverage, gives them a little bit of a better chance to achieve their goals. Maybe not a lot, but in their assessment of things, the less the world knows about it, the more that they can, you know, achieve their aims.
But one of the things that the government is doing, probably actually not letting the exhibition to go on, probably the tension it creates is more than when, you know, the government actually keeps silent and do not act like that. So probably it's counterproductive what the government is doing at the moment.
It is counterproductive that it attracts attention to something that, like, maybe a lot of us wouldn't have heard that there's some exhibit going on or a museum with photos and documentation of things. So it is somewhat counterproductive in that it attracts attention to something that maybe didn't have as much attention. But the thing is, if the fact that this whole museum exhibition has been closed down is also not being covered, then it doesn't have as much effect as it would have if all of the major media outlets were making a very big deal about it, making one of their top stories of the day.
So, okay. Thank you very much, Hamid, for that. Now, we know that according to the state news agency BNA, on Sunday, Bahrain's public prosecutor charged the head of the main Shiite opposition group with insulting the interior ministry. So, Mr. Al-Hashimi, this, according to some analysts, is a move that could further unsettle the Persian Gulf Islands state. So why do you think the government is doing this?
Well, before that, let me just give a minute explanation. It's more than the exhibition affect the government, the regime reputation. You know that the regime has spent millions and millions in Europe and the United States for companies to repair their reputation. Now, as this exhibition really demolished all what their efforts to repair their reputation, and that's one of the reasons why they have raided that exhibition. According to your question, I think the government has got a plan, and the leak of information that we have is not only they are going to they have, in fact, as far as you are concerned, they have taken Khalil Marzouk, but they have released him after they have established a legal case against him. Now they've called Sheikh Ali Salman to the public attorney, and they have also established a case against him, but they released him. But they have remained, the case is remained. They wanted to say to Sheikh Ali Salman, Al Wifaq, and the other society that the coming dialogue, you have to participate in the coming dialogue, or we are going to take you to jail, as exactly as, and together with your political assistant Khalil Marzouk. Plus, in the early year, there are a public election, and the regime wanted political association to participate as well, and that's why they are targeting Sheikh Ali Salman and people in his wake. It's not only for the exhibition is one of the reason, but the most important reason why they are targeting them is they are blackmailing them that either you participate on this coming dialogue and the early coming election, or we will take you in jail. Now the leak of information that we have in our hand, that the regime is not going to stop up to this stage, but they are planning. We are afraid, seriously afraid, that Sheikh Ali Salman might, it is very possible that he might be murdered not only Sheikh Ali Salman, but probably yes. Sheikh Ayatollah Isa Ahmed Qasim as well, and other leaders, high-rank leader in Bahrain. You know that Sheikh Ayatollah Najati as well has been threatened to be deported from Bahrain again only 2 days ago. So the situation in Bahrain looks going to a dark corner, really.
Okay, thank you very much indeed for that. Now let's take a short break. After the break, we'll be talking about some other aspects of the country, which is really in trouble at the moment, Bahrain. So please do stay with us. Hello again, it's great to have you back with us. Now, Al-Wefaq says it plans to lodge a complaint with the United Nations over the regime's raid on the exhibition, which had been organized in an effort to portray the Myanmar's regime's brutal clampdown on peaceful protests. So, Hamid, do you think that they seem to be getting anywhere with these, this sort of complaint, lodging complaint? Do you think that probably it really makes sense to lodge a complaint to the UN?
Well, maybe a lot might not happen, but to go through the procedure is not necessarily a bad idea, you know. But at the same rate, maybe they should lodge a complaint about everything, about lack of self-determination for the people in general, all of these abuses being happening in the country. So that they could, you know, I would advise them to make a complaint about everything, more than just, you know, just an exhibition being closed down. But they should lodge a complaint about the whole situation there.
You know, the thing is that, of course, I'm going to put that question also later to our other guests. But the thing is that, you know, the Bahraini uprising has started in February 2011. So it's over 2 years now since the Bahraini revolution has started. And there are some analysts say that, okay, have a look, nothing much has happened. So what do you think, what is your assessment of the success of the Bahraini revolution? Do you think that much has really changed?
Well, even if you want to say that, okay, they don't have a new government, they don't have a democratic system, in that assessment, they didn't win so much. But on the other hand, if you say, you said maybe people were more complacent before, the fact that people have a certain awareness that they have certain civil rights, human rights, democratic rights, that they have these rights and stand up for it, is a victory too. Even if they didn't get it, the fact that they realize that and that they should stand up for their rights, because there's nothing worse than people not standing up for their rights when they've lost their rights.
They're actually using every single opportunity to send a message. I mean, whenever there's a Formula One race, they come out and try to convey the message. So probably they're not giving up, are they?
No, I don't think they're giving up. At the same rate, like I said, they still must adopt a correct strategy and, you know, persist on things.
Okay. Thank you very much indeed for that. Now, as we just talked to Hamid, and as we just discussed with Hamid, 2 years and 9 months ago in February 2011, Bahrainis took to the streets to demand constitutional reform, equal rights, and eventually the overthrow of the ruling Bahraini monarchy. Now, in your perspective, Mr. Al-Hashimi, how successful Bahrainis have really been in achieving their demands? Because, you know, we're actually approaching the third anniversary of the Bahraini Revolution, and to be honest with you, we haven't seen much on the ground.
We have seen. I gave you an example today, my friend. Today, Her Excellency, the Prime Minister of South Korea, she was visiting United Kingdom, the Prime Minister at 10 Downing Street. At 1:30 London time, and I was there. We were demonstrating against shipping 1.6 million pieces of tear gas, poisoned chemical gas, to Bahrain to kill Bahrainis. And at that area, we wanted to send our voice to the Prime Minister of South Korea when she was there. And the police of the United Kingdom, this is the first time for me to see that much of police, that much of car, to pretend us sending our voice to the Korean prime minister. That shows you how much of tension United Kingdom, America, Europe are putting towards their fight together with Al Khalifa regime against the Bahraini civilian, Bahraini revolution, not to reach to send their voice or to allow their voice to go out. This prove that we've been successful. We've made it large. We've made it noisy. We've made it heard all over the world. We've made them embrace and we embrace them. We embrace everyone in the world, and they know that at this stage we've got all the right to use all kind to get rid of the occupied forces, the Saudi occupied forces, which is based in Bahrain. And plus, we have the right to choose our government, to have to choose our system, which rule us in Bahrain. In fact, I believe we have been very successful, not only successful, but very, very successful. At least you can see every night we are having a demonstrating. Every night people are going on the roads. They know that the regime use the life shot, life weapons, gas. They use all kind of weapons in their hand. They are killing every day some people. We've losing every day life. But still, we are there. We are on the ground. We are every day on the ground. And that's itself a successful. We are transferring our now movement and our activities into Manama, the capital of Bahrain, and especially in Ashura. This, we are successful. And I think there are the leak that we have also, there are a misunderstanding started already between all Gulf leaders, Saudi Arabia and Bahrain, Saudi Arabia and Emirates, Kuwait and Saudi. All about all this miserable situation are because of we have been standing. We have not been back forward. The opposite, we've been forward to the front, and I think we've been successful enough to enforce the United Kingdom, the United States, to give attention. Let me tell you one more information, that the United States and United Kingdom are calling all the activities on their land, especially we here in UK. They are calling us, investigating us. The head security, the head state security, has called most of the Bahraini activists here, including myself, to make sure that they are trying to control and keep the position as it is. And we are insisting, the people inside Bahrain are insisting to change, and we will change definitely, inshallah.
Okay, thank you very much for those comments. Now, Hamid, I just want to refer to one of the most recent pieces of information that I got. It's about Amnesty International calling on Bahrain's Minister of Interior to immediately rescind its last year's decision to revoke the citizenship of 31 opposition activists. This seems to be one of the ways through which the Bahraini government tries to punish the opposition figures, actually revoking their citizenship. It seems to be a very, probably odd way of punishment.
Well, it is an odd thing, and I'm not sure if all, but as far as I know, like, I think all of those people were born in the country, so, you know,
so it
they
really
didn't
make
join
sense
a foreign
to
army or
citizen.
Something to call them some kind of traitors or something. So,
so they want to make them stateless in a sense, right?
In a certain way, yeah, or to a kind of, maybe they want to put them into some kind of exile. I don't know the exact point of it, but the thing is, yeah, that shows that they're feeling desperate. They've got they're making certain desperate moves to address the situation. So it is a problem.
Right, so probably that's something that we haven't seen happening so often. I mean, normally the governments don't revoke the citizenship of even the probably the most notorious murderers. I mean, this is really something quite strange,
political people,
isn't it?
Yeah. So it is an odd move, but I mean, we've got to see things in a little bit in the broader perspective that we were talking about how this all began in 2011. This is part of this whole Arab Spring, Islamic Awakening, this whole change in the greater region. But and then now their efforts to kind of control that and some of the crackdown in Bahrain and other things going on. Or you saw Morsi, who was the Mohamed Morsi, the democratically elected president of Egypt, was deposed in a coup by the army in Egypt. And like nobody seems to be talking about it so much of these Western countries that so much claim to be advocates of democracy. They seem to be quite friendly with the military people who made a coup. And in Bahrain, you have a situation where it's so close to Saudi Arabia. And like I coined this expression, maybe other people use it. There's a kind of democrophobia, like fear of democracy happening in this whole region, especially these countries that have a kind of absolute monarchy. And then they're kind of allied with the Western countries in oil dealings and other things, in political matters. And they're in many ways puppets of Western countries. So they fear that something could happen, that, okay, people have some kind of democracy in Bahrain, maybe they want some kind of democracy in Saudi Arabia, and that could be one of the reasons that you see Saudi troops helping in the crackdown in this neighboring Bahrain.
So there are a number of analysts saying that without Saudi help, probably the government wouldn't have been able to control the opposition.
They would have had a lot more trouble. Maybe they would have been able to do something, but
at the same time,
it wouldn't have
trouble,
been the same situation. I mean, they might have had. Yeah, they would have definitely had a lot more trouble if these Saudi troops and I think some from UAE and some other places came in too. But see, all of these regional governments. Actually, they're some of the last bastions in the world that you see that they're not even the trappings of democracy. Some places have a kind of constitutional something, or they're in a little bit of a transition. I mean, you know, places that were absolute monarchies like Bhutan are transitioning. You have other things happening in the world. You know, you have things happening in the world where.
So the thing is, Hamid, is that the very fact that actually the Bahraini government is being supported by a number of other countries has probably encouraged the opposition to actually have a greater say when it comes to opposing the monarchy. So probably it's encouraged them. It's probably provoked them to.
But also they must understand that there are big forces against them more than just the national government. It's kind of a regional, almost a global thing. It's almost a global thing because some of the global ruling class in the Western world are worried that things might get out of control if something happens, if there's a democratic election, if people would vote for another kind of system in Bahrain. The Western powers and the people who run the Western powers are worried that the people who come in might not be, the democratically elected people might not be the people they want. Like as we saw the case with Morsi, I suppose he was not who they wanted in a way that they allowed him to be deposed, and you don't see a big, you know, a great outcry coming from the Western media or Western governments, even.
And being put it probably in the same cage that Mubarak was put in the same court.
Well, this is unfortunate.
It's really,
you know, this is unfortunate.
Nobody could have expected that, really.
This is really unfortunate.
Yes.
And like Morsi was in for 1 year, and then they're blaming him for, you know, things actually that weren't of his, you know, doing, that the economy was bad from years before from other people's activities from previous government. But
thank you very much indeed, Hamid, for that. Now let's take a short break. After the break, we'll have Central Stage Online Search. Hello again and welcome back. Now it's time for today's Central Stage Online Search, where we go on the internet for you to pick for you what's taken Central Stage Online. Now let's have a look at the first website. So insult charges for Bahraini opposition leader. So this is one photo of the exhibition. So you see that the police is actually aiming a gun at the protester. And so this probably, as I said, one picture of the exhibition. Right. Okay.
We don't want. Yes. It looks so like forces of repression.
At the same time.
It's artistic and looks like the policeman is one of the forces of repression. So not favorable for the government.
Right. And fully armed. Let's go to the next webs page. Okay, this is from Press TV, and Barony court sentences for activists to life. Of course, this is the picture of the head of Al-Wefaq, General Secretary of Al-Wefaq. And, Mr. Al-Hashimi there was really worried about the future of the top leaders of Al-Wefaq. And so probably it's a concern which is really very much to the point. So it shows that people actually are supporting the opposition leader. Of course, we know that Al-Wefaq has also cooperated to some extent with the initially, it was a part of the national dialogue, but then later on, they decided that, it doesn't make sense, so they left the national dialogue.
The national dialogue wasn't working. But even with Al-Wefaq,
they're not working. The government even can't tolerate Al-Wefaq, who has been, to some extent, not very tough when it comes to discussions with the government. Let's go to our next webpage. This is actually from Frontline Defenders, a website dedicated to a number of Baran activists. So you can see the names, now these names, as Mr. Al-Hashimi said, they didn't used to be that famous. Abdullah Al-Khawaja, Nabil Rajab, and a number of others, they say that you shouldn't forget them. Okay, let's go to our next web page. So this is Zainab Al-Khawaja. She really, lots of people were talking about her when she was also interrogated by the government, and she's also been a very active, an outspoken critic of the government. Yeah. And let's go to the next web page. So this is actually Nabil Rajab. He's also been a very, a well-known Baran activist, and they're asking us not to forget those opposition figures. I think they're using art to send a message as well.
Which is important.
Yes.
Art and culture, music, and all the arts must be used to get a message out, because it attracts people's attention.
Exactly. And let's go to our last web page. So this is actually, it's very interesting. This is the last meeting of the National Dialogue. It's this page, this picture has been taken from the National Dialogue website, the official website.
And there's a lot of empty seats.
Look at the right hand. So you see lots of people have decided not to be present at the National Dialogue because probably they think it doesn't really, hasn't been that effective. So I think this picture says a lot. Okay.
Says what's happening.
Thank you very much indeed for your valuable comments. Mr. Al-Hashimi, let's talk about this very last picture. We know that there's been a couple of series of national dialogue in which Al-Khalifa regime invited political opponents to negotiate a solution to the long-running crisis in the Persian Gulf Kingdom. Now, the meetings of the national dialogue are being held, including the most recent meeting. I think it was some Wednesday last week, just 1 week ago. So what's your assessment of the performance of the national dialogue?
Well, it's not my assessment, really. It's the assessment of the people whom they are involved in that dialogue, both parties, Al-Wefaq and the other parties. Let me bring to your attention that none of the regime, Al-Khalifa family, are represented in that dialogue, and that's why it is no use. It is no worth it. The dialogue are between people like from Sunni and Shi'i, which like Al-Khalifa wanted to make that dialogue look like. There are a misunderstanding, there are a fight, there are a big problem between Shia and Sunni in Bahrain, and that's not true at all. This is not the case, never been a case in Bahrain. But Al-Khalifa wanted it to look like a Sunni Shi'i in Bahrain, and that's why they are not represented by themselves, no represented from the king, no represented from the prime minister. None of the Al-Khalifa officially are represented in that dialogue, and the people in both parties are involved in dialogue. They themselves said describe that that dialogue as waste of time. It's so it does not worth the name. You can imagine after almost more than 30 seasons of such dialogue, the people involved has not yet come to a schedule of the decision that they're supposed to sit. Not only the season. So if they have not come to a schedule of season, they have not yet when they are going to reach, what kind of subject they are going to discuss, when they are going to discuss it, what is the schedule, who is going, what is the outcome, result of the outcome.
Right.
There are so many things. That's why this dialogue is really a waste of time.
Okay, I have one last question. I'd like to put it to both our guests. And I have to tell you that because of the time limit, we have just 1 minute for each one of our guests. So first up, Hamid, what does the future look like for the Persian Gulf Island, do you think?
Well, it's hard to exactly assess, but I think that there will be some kind of change, whether it's positive or negative. I'm just hoping that something doesn't happen where there is Shia-Sunni division, where there is not that now. And I see certain enemies of Islam from the outside want to create that. There is not such a situation now, but they want to create that like they created that in Iraq, where there wasn't so much Sunni-Shia tension like you see now.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that all the progressive forces should try to avoid, avoid falling into such a trap, which is the trap of the enemies.
Huh? Are you optimistic?
I'm guardedly optimistic. I don't know.
Okay.
Okay, I'm realistically optimistic.
You're cautious. Okay. Thank you very much indeed for that. Now, let me put that same question to you, Mr. Al-Hashim. We have just 1 minute maximum for this question. How do you see the future for Bahrain?
I think Mr. Hamid has said everything really, but I'm not really looking brightly to the future. Unfortunately, I can see that because of this particular that the regime are pushing for it, they have successfully did from the part of Sunni, unfortunately, and I think Bahrain is really going into a dark stage, a bloody situation. Iraq, example, as Mr. Hamid said, is very, very possible.
Great. Thank you very much. And on that cautious note, we have to end today's Central Stage. But before I go, I'd like to thank again my top guests. We had Mr. Qasim Al-Hashimi, well-established Bahrain activist in our London studio. And we also had Mr. Hamid Golpira, established journalist and writer working for Tehran Times and Press TV in our Tehran studio. So as always, your insights are much appreciated. Thanks for coming on, for talking to us, and let's hope that the future looks bright for Bahrain. I think we've seen lots of developments over the course of the last few years in the Middle East, and we can just hope the best for people of Bahrain, because I think people of Bahrain really deserve the best. So let's hope that the ideas which have been expressed in this show hopefully help all sides to make a decision for a better Bahrain. So I'd like to thank you, our dearest viewer, for having taken the time to watch this week's Central Stage. So until next week from me, our guest today, and the rest of the team, it's goodbye for now. Thanks very much indeed for watching. Thank you very much.
It's great to have you with us. Thank you.